Welcome back to Ill-Behaved Women, the podcast that celebrates the trailblazers, troublemakers, and childless cat ladies who refuse to play by the rules. Why? Because history is already littered with the untold stories of women. Who am I? My name is L.L. Kirshner. I am your host, voracious reader, big and small screen fanatic, and an unabashed feminist here to dish on the unforgettable women making history now. No one is a more obvious candidate for this episode than Vice President and presumptive Democratic nominee Kamala Harris. According to recent reports, she's leading the white male GOP candidate in the 2024 presidential race. This is actually huge. For the first time in U.S. history, we will see a woman of color at the top of a major party ticket. The first 48 hours of her campaign were better than any other candidate's first 2 days before, according to the Daily Beast, which stated, Kamala Harris has had the single best first day of any presidential candidate in history, and that was yesterday. She also just had the second best day in history of any presidential candidate. Her fundraising kicked off over Zoom on Sunday night, where 44,000 black women raised a staggering $1.5 million in just 3 hours. As of last night, she'd raised $180 million. It's a powerful reminder of the political clout of black women in America. Remember, 93% of black women supported the Democratic ticket in 2020. Now they're proving once again that they're a force to be reckoned with. They're not alone. Tonight, Thursday, July 25th, there's a virtual fundraiser scheduled for Kamala Harris that is explicitly asking white women to show up for the call. It can be done. It must be. I'm still baffled by the large number of white women who voted for the GOP in 2016, a staggering 47% compared to the 45% who supported Hillary Clinton. But Harris's extent supports beyond race and gender. On July 22nd, the Black Men for Harris Zoom hosted over 53,000 black men and raised over $1.3 million. On July 23rd, Latina women advertised their own call to action. And why wouldn't we support her? Many are calling her platform progressive, but these ideas are not radical. She wants to broaden health insurance coverage. I mean, defend women's health care rights. That's got unilateral support. Provide middle class tax relief. Hello. Lower drug prices. Yes. And increase the availability of affordable housing. That just sounds humane to me. Compare this to 2025, the GOP platform. Now that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, this platform is asking that the Justice Department in the next conservative administration should announce its intent to enforce federal law against providers and distributors of pills such as mifepristone. The guide recommends the next Secretary of Health and Human Services should get rid of the reproductive health care task force established by the Biden administration and create a pro-life task force to ensure that all of the departments seek to use their authority to promote the life and health of women and their unborn children. The Health and Human Services Department should maintain, I love this language, a biblically-based social science-reinforced definition of marriage and family. Whose Bible? In a section titled The Family, I bet it's not the Quran, The Family Agenda, the proposal recommends the Health and Human Services chief proudly state that men and women are biological realities and that married men and women are the ideal natural family structure because all children have a right to be raised by the men and women who conceived them. Do they? I mean, that's debatable. Even here in Florida, Audrey McNiff, a former Goldman Sachs partner and noted Republican, is using her influence to rally support for Amendment 4, a ballot initiative that supports the constitutional right to abortion, and a stark reminder that the fight for reproductive rights has broad support. There's more. I mean, the thing is 900 pages long, but do you really need to know more? Okay, just a few more things I can't resist. The GOP wants to centralize more power in the Oval Office, namely erasing the Justice Department's independence from White House political control and increasing the president's authority over every part of the federal government that now operates, either by law or tradition, with any measure of independence from political interference by the White House. The candidate himself wants to bring independent agencies like the Federal Communications Commission, which makes and enforces rules for television and internet companies, and the Federal Trade Commission, which enforces various antitrust and other consumer protection rules against businesses, under direct presidential control. Specifically, his presidential control. Money, money, money. And finally, the GOP wants to privatize weather forecasting, breaking up the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which we know and love as the National Weather Service, describing it as one of the main drivers behind the climate change alarm industry. I didn't know that climate change had its own industry. They should have their own PAC. Why is this? Because ignorance is bliss? Tell that to Katy Perry. Yep, I'm switching gears like Brat, because we have to keep up on our pop culture here, too. Wait, did I mean a Brat? No, I did not. I'm sure you've heard about the Harris campaign's adoption of Charlie XCX's album aesthetic after Charlie tweeted out her support in a post saying Kamala is Brat. Brat is a vibe. The thing about it, though, it's not unironic. Brat is that weird aunt you love to hang with because she's unpredictable, veering between cringe and cool, but ultimately beloved. A day later, Katy Perry got in on it, sort of, by reposting a fan edit featuring Harris. Ouch. Listen, as a monthly podcast, I'm not exactly a newsmaker, but Perry's comeback album, which has been called a dated attempt at writing a feminist anthem about how women really can have it all, and also likened to being stuck in 2016, this was in the cut, in a la-dee-da dimension in which male-tier mugs make bank on Etsy. That just made me laugh. Anyway, I'm calling her out, not because her album may or may not suck, but because she collaborated with Dr. Luke, a.k.a. Lukasz Gottwald, the producer who was sued by singer Kesha for sexual assault. Ooh. The only reason I can imagine she went back to him is because the two albums she did without him since 2013 haven't done quite as well as her previous records. If Women's World, the lead single off of her forthcoming album 143, is any indication, Dr. Luke will be looking for a job again soon. By the way, Kesha endorsed Harris within an hour of Biden's endorsement. And thank all the gods, we don't have to listen to another tired rock anthem all fall. Beyonce gave the Harris campaign permission to use her song Freedom. And yes, as someone who used to be a buyer for the import independent label store Magnolia Thunderpussy Records and Tapes, I'm that old, I care about this kind of thing. Now, before we wrap up, I have a couple more serious topics. The first is a movie recommendation, a new documentary called Daughters of the Sun, which shed lights on the experiences of Yazidi girls abducted by Islamic State militants in Kurdistan. As young women, many in their teens, these girls were forcibly converted to Islam and sold as sex slaves. The film follows their journey as they return home, severely traumatized, and attempt to rebuild their lives. I swear, it will restore your faith in humanity. Now, if you follow my blog, and you can sign up at illbehavedwomen.com, you might remember back in February when I wrote about my experience with a false positive on a mammography. Writing that piece, I discovered more about the harms of screening, or potential harms of screening, as well as the updated recommendation that women without a family history of breast cancer only need to be screened every other year. A couple of weeks ago, a new study was released suggesting that women can handle the nuanced discussion about the pros and cons of mammograms. Well, first of all, I take issue with the idea that that needed to be studied, that women can handle nuance. And oddly, that sentiment, or dumbfoundedness, I guess, was largely lacking from the coverage. But hey, if it means more women are apprised of the new screening guidelines and improvements in radiography techniques pass around. In fact, I myself, since my own research, am going to a different mammography center next time, one that supposedly has more comfortable curved trays. Well, then, okay. I guess it should come as no surprise. Also recently, since it's been widely reported that another sex bias exists in the lab, male rats. Apparently, most of the mice used in studies on aging are male. which could lead to skewed results that don't accurately represent how aging affects women. I don't know why this particular study is limited to aging, but I would bet that bias extends beyond just studies about aging. Well, that's all for this episode of Ill-Behaved Women. Remember, breaking the rules isn't just about being rebellious. It's about challenging the status quo and pushing for progress. If you want to catch me live, I'll be in Chicago next month at the Barnes & Noble Orland Park on August 10th from 12 to 2, or at Downtown's Bookseller on August 22nd at 7 p.m., This will be before Kamala Harris goes on at the DNC in conversation with Anka Salaji. And in Key West this fall, November 22nd, at the Art and Historical Society. I am looking forward to it all. Would love to meet you, or you can connect with me on my blog. If you want to follow more updates in my schedule, check out my Instagram, which is at LL Kirshner, KIRCHNER underscore. Until next time, keep misbehaving.